Well, today I get the honor and privilege to preach the gospel to you this morning. And I want to say first and foremost that as my wife and I have had the privilege and honor to doing marriage ministry here at the church, and we're going to be starting a brand new marriage class coming August 30th. And so if you're a latecomer to sign up, I'm sorry, we are so full. We filled up the first 2 weeks of the class, and so you have to catch the next class. If somebody does drop out, you know, we'd be able to bring you on in, but our class is actually now full, and so you can catch the next one. In that note, talking about marriage, at the beginning of the year when I preached on a message on vision, one of our visions for my wife and I this year was to start a marriage podcast. And this last couple months, we were able to launch our brand new marriage podcast, and we're titled it the Favorite Marriage, and we have been having so much fun doing our weekly podcast, and we have our YouTube channel, and you can actually follow the Favorite Marriage podcast on every major podcast platform out there. And so you can go home today and say, Alexa, play the Favorite Marriage podcast, and you'll hear it come on up. It's pretty cool. We did it at our home the other day. I was like, that's so cool. We're like on Amazon, Alexa, Apple, all that good stuff. So if you want to have more tools inside of your marriage toolbox, we would love for you to listen in. You know, of course, you can like, follow, subscribe, share with your friends and family members who need some good tools in their marriage toolbox. How many married couples can say, I can use some tools in my marriage toolbox? All right, God bless for you couples. All right. Let me give you another opportunity. How many of you can use, married couples, how many of you can use tools in your marriage toolbox? All right. So you can listen to us on the Favorite Marriage podcast. And so we're going to dive right into part 7 of the study of Daniel. The Hope and Resilience series that we've been on for the entire year. And I get the opportunity to preach one of my favorite passages in Daniel chapter 6 about Daniel in the lion's den. So I'd like to ask you a quick question this morning as we begin. Have you faced any lions lately? Have you faced any lions in your life, in your family, your home this last week? I was reminded of a story of this college student who was looking for some money to earn during the summer months before he went off to college, and he saw an ad that there was a local zoo, and they were needing some help at the zoo. So he goes, and he's sitting there for the interview, and the zookeeper tells him, you know, hey, it's been a rough go for our zoo. You know, we just lost our gorilla, and we won't get another gorilla for about another month. He says, so we're kind of looking somebody to kind of fill in the gap. You would dress up in a gorilla suit and just kind of act like a gorilla. We okay with that? And so this college student says, yeah, I'd love to do that. I'm hurting for money, so I'll act like a gorilla. So he puts the gorilla suit on, and he goes into the cage, and he's starting to like the role. He's playing the role of the gorilla. And so this big suit that he has on, he kind of lost sense of direction where he's at. So he trips, and he stumbles, and he falls into the lion's cage. So the lion's like, rah, rah. The lion is roaring at him, and this college student says, help, help. I'm a man in this suit. I'm a man in this gorilla suit. And he heard a whisper from the lion say, hey, shut up, man. You're going to get us both fired. We know that the real story, or the story of Daniel, he faces real lions. It wasn't no fake lion, right? It was a real, real lion. We're going to see in the story today three sets of lions. We're going to see the lions of persecution. We're going to see the lion of prayer in Daniel. And we're also going to see the actual lions in the den. So at the end of chapter 5, Pastor Paul was preaching last week, the story ends in chapter 5 with King Belshazzar being murdered, being taken out by another king, another world ruler by the name of King Darius. King Darius is now the ruler of Babylon, and he rises to this role of leadership, and King Darius the Mede, he really likes Daniel. He really he favors Daniel, basically, and he was about to promote Daniel to the second highest leader in the Babylonian kingdom. So it would be King Darius and then Daniel, and he would be over the governors and then over all the other administrators. So he really liked him. But with this promotion that Daniel was about to have, it made him an object of attack. It made him where he had a target on his back. And so as we look at Daniel 6 in this story, I want to remind you today that we as Christians, we are in a spiritual battle. Can I get an amen from the church? We are in a spiritual battle. A spiritual battle is raging. And this story shows us as believers how we can face the lions in our life with spiritual boldness. I want to remind you of a scripture in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, where Peter says to the church that the devil himself is like a roaring lion. And he's seeking, he's studying, he's following you, he's following us, seeking whom he may devour. Now we know that the plan of the enemy against the church, against the Christian, is to flatten our faith, to shipwreck our faith, to get us to a point where we doubt God, to get us to a point where we're angry at God, upset with God, mad at God, and where we shake our fists at God, and basically we just walk away from God. That is his plan, is to attack us. The Bible says in John 10:10 that his plan is to steal, kill, and destroy. So if you are a believer in Christ, you are like a Daniel. You have a target on your back. I have a target on my back. The enemy would love to see us fall. He would love to see us fail in our faith. He would love to see us just get mad at God, shake our fist at God, and walk away from the faith, abandoning our relationship with Jesus. So we are in a spiritual battle, and this text here today is a simple reminder of this battle that we're in. So I don't want you to see this story from just a perspective of Daniel in a lion's den. I want you to see the story from a perspective that there is a spiritual battle that is raging against the people of God, the family of God. Which leads to our first point, the plot against Daniel. Now here we see the lions of persecution. Let's look at Daniel chapter 6, starting in verse 4. At this, meaning the promotion of Daniel, hearing about the promotion of Daniel, at this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charge against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law and his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, May King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors. Now remember, Daniel was a governor. And governors have all agreed. Liars. Lying. Daniel was not even involved in the meeting. He didn't get invited to the party to have this discussion. He says, "We have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue a decree and put it in writing that it cannot be altered in accordance to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius liked the idea so much, pray to me, make me a god. He put the decree in writing. Now the satraps, S-A-T-R-A-P-S, satraps. They were trying to find a way to trap Daniel. These chief representatives in the Babylonian kingdom were likely in charge of many different provinces throughout the kingdom. Matter of fact, a satrap would be equatable to like a governor of a state like here in Colorado. That's how prominent and how powerful these individuals were. And their goal was simply to cancel out Daniel. Now, you thought cancel culture was alive and well just in the last few years here. Cancel culture has been in existence for a very long time. We put a name to the definition, right? But how many know that as a child of God, You cannot cancel what God has called and what God has created. You could try to do whatever you want to the child of God. You can't cancel what God has called and what God has created and what God has ordained. The Bible says in Proverbs that the steps of the righteous man have been ordered by God. Amen? And what these guys didn't know is that you can't cancel out what God called and created Daniel to do. Daniel was called to be this man of God. He was called to be a man of favor. And they tried their best to try to cancel out Daniel, and their efforts were in vain. Now, we know that Daniel he exemplified many different characteristics. And as these satraps and different people looked at him, they noticed or they discovered four things about Daniel's life. Number one, they noticed that Daniel was faithful in his job duties. Daniel was a man of integrity, and these guys could find no flaws in his work performance. He was so successful that he was now about to become the second in command in the kingdom. Daniel shined in his job above any other administrator and any other governmental leader because the Bible says in verse 3 that Daniel had an excellent spirit about him. And so he was faithful in his job duties. As a Christian, it is important for us when we go to job, when we go to our job Monday morning. And remember, job doesn't stand for just over broke either, okay? When we go to our job on Monday morning, our job as Christians, we should shine above everybody else. We should have an excellent spirit when we're at our job. Number two, they discovered that Daniel was favored by God. Daniel had the favor of God over his life. Daniel chapter 1 verse 9 says, "Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commanders and the officials." Daniel had the favor of God. The goodness of God was upon Daniel. Three, Daniel was fervent in prayer. He was a man of prayer. As a high-ranking official, get this, as a governor, Daniel still found time every day to pray three times a day. There's no excuse. The excuse for us, prayer was his passion. Prayer should be our passion even as a believer of Christ. So we too, like Daniel, should be fervent in prayer. And the fourth thing they noticed about Daniel was faultless in his character. Simply put, there were no skeletons in Daniel's closet. As his enemies examined him, they could not find anything to accuse Daniel of. Daniel's record was clean, squeaky clean. He had an excellent spirit. He was a man of integrity. So what do these men do? They do what all lions, all jealous lions do. They make something up. They start lying about Daniel. You see, those who are doing wrong are usually threatened by those who are doing right. Let me say that again. Those who are doing wrong are usually threatened by those who are doing right. Because when you're doing right, as a believer in God, just our lifestyle of righteousness becomes a conviction to their lifestyle of wrongness. And so don't get all crazy and look at people sideways when they start treating you bad because you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing because you're following the ways of God. It's just that your life is a conviction to them now. So keep shining, keep serving, keep following the Lord, and God will honor you. Now we know that the enemy, his plan in this story is to destroy and harass Daniel. That's his ultimate plan. And we see the same plan playing out today in our world today. I mean, if you're a Christian and you work in a secular society and you don't work in a Christian workplace, there could be the possibility of you being persecuted, you being targeted as a Christian employee. Somebody might see a Bible on your desk. Somebody might see you praying during your lunchtime. Somebody might hear you talking about your faith in God. And somebody at your workplace, get it ready, whether you like it or not, they're just not going to like you. And they're going to watch you because you're in a glass house, and they're going to try to find something in your life that they can accuse you of. But if you stay right before God, there's going to be nothing. We see this in the political world. When you have a politician who's a believer and they're running as a candidate for a political office, you're going to see all the, what do they call it, the opposition team. They'll start creating these PR things and commercials to try to slander and malign the candidate. because of maybe they're a Christian or they try to just characterize them in a certain way because of their faith. We see it a lot. We're going to start seeing it here in the next few weeks. Guaranteed. 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 But imagine looking at Daniel's life for 50 years as a public servant and finding nothing wrong with him. Daniel had no fraudulent expense accounts. He had no intern scandals, no questionable business deals, no accusations from his staff. Daniel was clean. He was pure. So the lions, they gathered together to set a trap. They said, we're not going to find any charge against Daniel when it comes to something being evil in him. So the only thing that we can really attack him on has to do with something about the law and his God. We know Daniel prays. We know he does that 3 times a day. He's been doing that since he was a kid. So let's attack him in the prayer realm. So here they go. They devise this plan that, oh, king, for 30 days, nobody should pray to anybody else except for you. You're the God. You're our God for 30 days. And if anybody does pray to somebody else besides you, king, throw them in the lion's den. The king liked the idea, signs it into a decree, makes it a mandate, and now it's law, the law of the land for 30 days. They staged this persecution for Daniel. And people will do the same against us. Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy 2, verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Let it be known, if you name the name of Jesus, and you're a full-time follower of Jesus, I mean a full-time follower of Jesus, I'm not talking about the type of carnal Christian who's a saint on Sunday and it ain't on Monday. I'm not talking about that person. I'm talking about a follower of Jesus who is in, all cards are in, they're all in for Christ, they are a follower of Jesus, Jesus is the Lord of their life, and man, they're living the life of obedience to Jesus Christ. That person will become a target of persecution. You see, the enemies of Daniel, they conspired against Daniel just like our enemies will conspire against us. So what ended up happening is after King Darius signs this ordinance, we know that the ordinance really was only the bait. The real object of attack was to destroy Daniel. Daniel had a bullseye upon his back. But the thing that they forgot about Daniel, that there was a lion inside of him, which is our second point, which is the prayer life of Daniel. Daniel had a lion the prayer life of a lion inside of him. Daniel had a really big spiritual roar when he prayed. When Daniel knew that the mandate was signed and he was confronted at this point with the test of loyalties, was I going to remain faithful and loyal to the human king, or was I going to remain faithful and loyal to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, my God, the God of Jehovah? Daniel had a choice. Was he going to remain loyal to the king or to God? Daniel was not at this point going to switch teams. You get me? He wasn't going to switch teams at this point. He didn't care about how intense this mandate was and how punishable this mandate was. Daniel said, I am not going to switch teams. When the going gets tough for believers, we get tougher in God. And he stood his ground, and just like always, he went to his room, opened up the windows toward Jerusalem 3 times a day, Daniel gets on his knees and he prays to God. As he's praying to God, the lions are watching. The lions are planning. And they're getting ready to trample Daniel. Now let me ask you something. When you're under pressure for your faith, what will you succumb to? If this mandate was passed in America, no praying. No praying. And we kind of got close to it, like no church, right? No praying. What would you do? I was reading an excerpt from an ODG, an old dead guy. His name is Charles Spurgeon, one of the giants in the faith, and he said this about the decree of King Darius. He says, suppose the law of the land was proclaimed, no man shall pray during the remainder of this month on pain of being cast into the den of lions. how many of you would pray? I think there would be rather a scanty number at the prayer meeting. Not but what, the attendance at prayer meetings is scanty enough now. But if there were the penalty of being cast into the den of lions, I'm afraid that the prayer meeting would be postponed for a month, owing to pressing business and manifold engagements of one kind and another. What would you do? Keep praying? The Bible says when Daniel learned about the decree, of course, he went and he kept praying, talking to God. See, Daniel understood this, that the measure of his obedience belonged to God and God alone. The safest thing that Daniel could do at this moment is to obey God and keep on praying. So he went home, knelt down, and he sought God. You see, one of the things that the enemy would love to do in our lives as Christians is to silence our prayer. It's to silence our prayer. He wants to shut down your prayer. Because the enemy knows, Satan knows, that when the weakest Christian is on their knees, he's trembling. He knows that when he sees us on our knees as believers and we're praying and we're seeking God for our marriage and our family and our kids, and we're praying blessing over our finances, blessing over our congregation, blessing over our leaders, and when he sees us on our knees seeking this great and awesome God, Satan hates that. He trembles when he sees the weakest, feeble Christian on their knees seeking and praying and just talking to King Jesus. Brothers and sisters, don't let the enemy take away your prayer life. He wants to silence you when it comes to talking to God. And you think about this, Daniel, he's been praying since he was probably 12 years old. He's in his 80s by now. 68 years of prayer. Any mathematicians in the house? Do the math. 68 years, 365 days a year, three times a day. What's the math? I already did it. Over 74,000 prayers. This man, Daniel, was a man of prayer. He loved to seek God. He loved to talk to God. And so I would encourage you today, as a believer in God, don't let the enemy rob you of your prayer. And when you pray, pray big. Pray bold. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:1 that the unrighteous will run, though no one pursues them, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. So when we pray as the people of God, we can pray big, we can pray bold. Do you know why we can pray big and bold? Because our God is big, our God is gigantic, our God is magnanimous, and the God that we serve, the God that we pray, he is the same God that spoke and said, "Let there be light," and there was light. That's the God that you and I serve. So we don't have to be afraid to pray big. We don't have to be afraid to pray bold. In the name of Jesus, we can ask God for healing over cancer. We can ask God for healing over disease. We can ask God to heal a marriage that is broken. We can ask God to bring home a wayward son and daughter. We can pray big. We can pray bold because our God is big and bold and he's bad. Amen. So as Daniel prayed, the lions, they watched. So they reported him to King Darius. King Darius, Daniel's praying. Your kids ever do that, telling each other? Mom, he hit me. It's so funny. When I was a kid, I'm the youngest of six kids, and my brother Lira and I, we were fighting one day, and we were visiting my dad in Nebraska. I'm bunny chilling right here. This is not even my notes. This is free. So we were fighting one day, and I remember going to tell my dad, "Dad, Leroy hit me in the face," and he really did. He just hit me in the arm. And I go, "Dad, Leroy hit me in the face," and my dad says to Leroy, "Hit him in the face. He won't lie again once you hit him in the face." But I was a tattletale. And so they came to King Darius, and they're like, "King Darius, Daniel's praying to, he's not praying to you, he's praying to his God." King Darius, he knew he had made a mistake when he signed the decree because he liked Daniel. And he's like, I can't change the edict. I can't change the mandate. I have to throw you in the den. So he threw Daniel in the lion's den that night. And the Bible says all night, Darius could not sleep. Matter of fact, let's read it. It says in verse chapter 6, verse 16. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace, and listen, watch this. And he spent the night, I'm going to get a drink here, and he spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him. The king could not sleep. I don't care how wealthy you are. If you do wrong to somebody, that Sleep Number bed mattress isn't going to do you any justice. Man, you guys got me preaching. This is so good. It's that fizz stuff you buy from Sam's. I'm trying to spare some time to get my voice back here. King Darius, he realized the foolishness of his decisions. And that night, he couldn't sleep. Now, let me say this. When people attack you and they wrong you, know this. They're gonna be haunted by guilt. They're not gonna be able to sleep. You might say, "Oh man, why did they do this to me?" Guaranteed, they're in their bed at night and they're worried because they touched a child of God. They're concerned. I remember in my first church, we pastored an inner city church and we dealt with a lot of gang members and drug addicts and street people, and we had a men's home, a Christian rehabilitation home. And my wife and I, we were running this home out of our house. And we had about 6 or 7 men that were living in our basement. And we were helping them get back on their feet. And it was a faith-based rehab home. Excuse me. So this guy had been wreaking havoc in the home for quite some time. And one night I had heard that there was some arguing downstairs. So I went downstairs and this guy was just wreaking havoc with the other guys, and so I had to ask him to leave that night, to dismiss him from the home. So he went that night, he walked out, and before he left, he looked at me, and he says, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to kill you and your entire family. I'm like, you need to leave. Let's go. He left. Went upstairs, and my wife, and at this time, we had our oldest son, Caleb. He was just a baby, our first son, and we were sitting at the kitchen table. And I saw through the picture window of our front room, this red laser was shining through the picture window, and it was bouncing off of the walls in the kitchen and crossing our faces. And I was like, oh, crud. So I told Janine, get Caleb, get on the ground. So she grabs our son. He's like just a few years old, and we're on the ground. And we're like on the ground, and we're like just... So I'm thinking, I have to do something, right? So just in boldness, I get up and I walk to the front door and I'm like, hey, if it's my time, I'm going to go. I don't care. I'm going to die. So I get to the front door and open the front door, and it was some of our young people from our youth ministry. They had those little red laser things, and they were playing a trick with us. And I was like, oh, you guys, you do not even know what we were going through today. That's why you got to be careful with the way you talk to your pastor, because you don't know what your pastor's been through that day. So be nice to your pastors. I don't know. I remember at times I come out of an intense marriage counseling session, and that's like, it was like lions in the den. And it's tense. And so we have to walk out. And so it's like, that was a tough one. So be kind when you see your pastors, because you never know. Be kind to everybody, because you just never know what they're dealing with at that point. And so years later, I was pastoring our second church, And I got up to preach like I am today, and I see this man in our congregation, the one that threatened to kill me and my family. He's in the congregation. And I see him sitting next to a lady. After the sermon is over, I was like, oh, man, what's going to happen to me? Because you never know in these day and age, people come and just start shooting up churches. And so I, at the end of the sermon, I went up to him, and he shook my hand, and he says, hey, pastor. He goes, I want to apologize for the way I treated you and the things I said about you and your family. He goes, I have been haunted by guilt all these years. And I needed to come and apologize to you. And in tears, this man apologized. I accepted his apology. He was married. He brought his wife that morning. And this man and his wife started attending our church. And they were a member of our church. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise for that? You see, when people attack you, they're bothered by it. Don't think that they're home sleeping away. They feel guilty. If they have a conscience, if they're a good-willed person, they'll feel the impact of that. Let's look at our third point. I got to wrap it up here this morning, the preservation of Daniel. We know that Daniel, the next morning when King Darius woke up, he rushes to the lion's den, and he realizes that Daniel is still alive. He's like, yo, Daniel. Yo, what's up, King? You alive? Yeah, I'm good. These lions, we slept good last night. He says, the angel, God sent an angel to shut the mouths of these lions. We're good. Hey, King, can you like bring me up now? They bring Daniel up, they examine him, they inspect him, and they find no injury on his body. And the Bible says in verse 23, the reason why they found no injury on Daniel's body was because Daniel trusted in his God. Daniel believed God. God sent his angel to protect Daniel. Do you know, brothers and sisters, Hebrews 1:14 says that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation. Do you realize that sometimes in our life, in my life, in your life, there have probably been a ministering angel that God has sent your way to protect you? How many of you are in this place and you said, Pastor, I should be dead because of this situation, but I am alive and well. You don't ever know. It was at that moment, perhaps, that God sent an angel to protect you. When we were driving in our car and we're going over the speed limit, I always say to the person who's driving, don't drive faster than your angel can fly. Angels fly at 75. You know, you might get there a little early, and the angel like catches up a few minutes later. Whew, that was a tough one, but man, God, we did our job. Ministering angels are legitimate. And God will send his angel to protect you. We look at the last thing is Daniel's prosperity. I love how the last verse ends in chapter 6, verse 28. It says, so Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. God prospered Daniel. God will prosper you. I love these closing words because they inform us that even though the careers of Daniel's enemies came to an abrupt halt, Daniel's life was preserved. Daniel remained faithful through his captivity in Babylon. Daniel remained faithful through several kings taking power, coming into power, leaving power. Daniel remained faithful and prosperous even through a death threat over his life. Daniel remained prosperous because Daniel trusted in God. Now, I want you to notice something as we close this morning. Daniel was from a royal bloodline. Daniel was from the tribe of Judah. Judah was a bloodline of royalty. And as I was looking back at this, I was going back to Daniel 1, where Pastor Paul was preaching about that. And Daniel 1 verse 6 says that Daniel was from the tribe of Judah. Now, this might seem like a minor detail when you read the book of Daniel, but we need to remember who else is from the line of Judah. Who else is from the tribe of Judah? Oh, he goes by the name of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Oh, we know him as Jesus Christ. Oh, we know him as our Messiah. Oh, we know him as the Savior of the world. And so what I love about the story is that when Daniel was in the lion's den, he knew he came from that royal lineage of the line of the line of Judah. And Daniel knew that from this line, there was going to be a Messiah whose name would be given the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And this is our Messiah. This is our King. And so, brothers and sisters, I declare to you this Sunday morning that whatever you're going through in your lion's den, you have the Lion of the tribe of Judah right next to you. You got Jesus. And so we see the fourth lion, the lion of lineage. Jesus is greater than Daniel. Jesus is the greater Daniel. Listen, listen. Seven important facts about Daniel and Jesus. Number one, Daniel and Jesus had jealous political leaders drum up false charges against them to kill them. Both Daniel and Jesus had the senior political leader declare them innocent. Both Daniel and Jesus had their death tomb covered with a large stone. Both Daniel and Jesus had their death tomb stone protected with a government seal. Both Daniel and Jesus had individuals run to their tomb early in the morning. Both Daniel and Jesus walked away from their death tomb early in the morning. Both Daniel and Jesus, listen to this, Daniel eventually died. Jesus defeated death, and at the resurrection, Jesus will come and he will raise Daniel up from the grave and everybody else who died in their faith. It is our Messiah. It is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is greater than Daniel, and we have Jesus on our side. You missed the clap. You missed the clap. You missed the clap. We have Jesus on our side. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, whose roar is greater than any roar of a human lion. I want to end today's message by asking you the same question that I began the message with today. Have you faced any lions this week? I'm asking you, have you faced any difficult situations this week? Your lion might be facing a job situation right now. Maybe you're feeling incredible pressure, and you can just literally feel the teeth of the situation weighing you down right now. And you're dreading, you're a little anxious about even going to work tomorrow. That's your den. Your lion might be a sinful habit that you just can't seem to break free from. Maybe that you've been succumbed to a sinful habit and it's a secret sin nobody knows about and it's messing with you. And you feel like it is just winning every day over your life. And you have tried everything and you just can't break free from this sin. That's your lion. That's your den. You're fighting that lion right now. Maybe your lion right now might be a family situation and you've been praying for your family, you've been praying for your marriage, but the more you pray, the worse your marriage gets. The more you pray that your husband becomes cold and indifferent or your wife is just turning you off and giving you the silent game. And you're just feeling like, man, I don't know why this is my marriage is my den right now. We are just at each other. There's no peace in our home. There's no peace in our marriage. We can't even communicate on a healthy level anymore. Or maybe your family, maybe you have a wayward son or daughter and they're making some decisions and choices right now and it's just breaking your heart as a parent. You're like, God, why are they doing this? Why are they making these choices? And that's your lion's den. Or maybe you're even being persecuted right now by somebody at your workplace or a family member or a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, and they're just attacking you because you're a believer, because you named the name of Christ. Maybe your lying right now is a health issue. Maybe you got a bad report this last week, and your health isn't looking too good right now. And you're like, my God, this is my lion. This is my den. And whatever lion you're facing, whatever den you're in, I want to remind you, you're not in it alone. You have the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's with you. And you might not experience the deliverance like Daniel experienced. You very well could die. But could that be your deliverance? Either way. I remember praying for my mom when she came out of surgery and she crashed after surgery having a valve replacement. And I remember praying for her and Lord, asking the Lord to heal her. Lord, heal my mom. And she died. She died the next day. And I was a little upset. I remember asking God, why didn't you heal her? You know what he said to me? I did. I brought her home. She's healed. Your deliverance might not come like Daniel's, but your deliverance, it will come. And we have to trust God in our den.